from the WEEI studios. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station.
Second and 25.
18!
Look out. They didn't protect him that time. Down he goes at the 45-yard line. Uche coming in for the sack. And that will probably take us, and should, with an injured Jet right now. Stopping the clock with 5 seconds.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
As we move into the 4 o'clock hour, that was a Josh Uche highlight. We had to search far and wide to find one, but we did get one. Some earlier today.
Cheap shot.
Some earlier this season, I think. That was his sack against Rodgers, against the Jets. First Jets game, right? Because he obviously didn't play in this last one.
Back in September.
Yes. One of the few plays he's made this year. You didn't hear his name a lot this year. He ends up going to Kansas City for a 6th-round pick. Will the Patriots be sellers at the deadline? Are they already sellers at the deadline?
They've
traded their two best pass rushers, maybe. I don't know. You can maybe make an argument for Dietrich Wise or Keon White as being one of the other ones. But in terms of, you know, with cachet, Judon, beginning of the year, traded him for a 3rd-round pick because he was being disruptive. I think that was as much a part of it as anything else. And now Josh Uche, who has just this 1 year, so he's a rental in Kansas City. He didn't give up a lot to get him, a 6th-round pick. It's a little bit of draft capital, and I think that in general, the Patriots right now don't have a lot of really great options and guys that they can dangle out there for big returns. I just sort of think this is it. You want to get some addition by subtraction maybe in that wide receiver room. I could listen to that. We know that Elliot Wolf said that this is not going to be a tank job, but it seems like they're already beginning their fire sale. It's what it looks like anyway. There's no other reason to trade Josh Uche, is there?
He hasn't really been productive. So if somebody was going to give me something for something that hasn't really been productive, mm-hmm. You can make an argument. But on a team that has limited pass rush to start with, and as you said, traded their Pro Bowl pass rusher before the year started.
Right. If the Patriots were 6-2, they wouldn't have traded Josh Uche yesterday. I don't think.
Probably not. I mean, if they were 6-2, it wouldn't be because of him.
No, I'd agree with that, too, but I don't
nothing.
Think they wouldn't be peeling off pieces.
I mean, he had, as everybody points out, he not only did he have a half a season a couple years ago, he had like a half of a half a season. Mm-hmm. It was like a little game stretch where he rode Judon's coattails. No, the only question I have here is Elliot Wolf's comments that you just alluded to. Like, we would never tank. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And now all I hear from reports from Diana Russini and our buddy Mike Giardi, Patriots have made it clear that they are ready to sell. They are open for business. You already trade Uche. Devon Godchow, he's on the block. Kendrick Bourne, he's on the block. I haven't heard any reports of Jonathan Jones, but we've speculated that he could be a guy that could be on the block.
And we addressed it with him yesterday, and he said, you know, people have asked me about it, but I don't know anything, and I want to stay here, so we'll see.
But I just don't see how you can be. I don't care if they trade people. I just want to be clear about that. I would probably be trading people. I would probably be opening up opportunities for every young player to play, mm-hmm. because the reality is Devon Godchow, who for some reason you gave a contract to, and Kendrick Bourne, who you also gave a contract to, which is weird that you give contracts to him in the offseason and then you're looking to unload him a few months later. Weird. But they're not part of, the long-term future, but really the foundation. I don't really see a word. At best, Kendrick Bourne is a role player.
We did this whole exercise.
Yes.
And there's only a couple. There's like 3 guys that are foundational players on this team.
As long as you're not mentioning.
And none of them are over 25, really.
Gonzo, May, Barmore. As long as those names aren't in the mix, then you're not trading anything that's really a part of the foundational future.
Yeah, nothing that's nailed down.
So Elliot Wolf, trade away. Except you stink a little bit because you said you would never tank. And if you trade away your best talent, you're taking, you can call it whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
but it's tanking. You're not trying to win football games. You're not improving your roster. You're lessening your roster. Like, you aren't focused on winning football games in a week where you finally won a football game And it's nice that you won a football game. And everybody's telling me they loved it. 71% of Patriots fans can't be wrong.
Absolutely. More than that. Like 85%, really, if we're being honest here.
And if we're being honest, they can be wrong. They're
and they
wrong
definitely
a lot,
can be
as
wrong.
A group.
They're often wrong.
You people are wrong a lot. I have to work with Fitzy all the time. He is one of the stronger members of your group, and he is wrong all of the time. Just like when he said a couple years ago that it was going to be the greatest draft class ever because they all contributed in one game. And they all stink or aren't even here anymore. But how can you get on your high horse, what, 8 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago, whatever it is? High horse. I would never tank. We would never do that. We're not about that.
It's easy to say when everybody's 0-0, you know? It's easy to say before the season starts. It's a little tougher when you're 2-6. By the way, that brings us to today's edition of the Sniff Test.
No. I think it stinks.
It's the Sniff Test with Arcand and Hard.
That's right, it stinks!
On WEEI.
So Elliot Wolf made a whole big show out of not wanting to tank. That we wouldn't disrespect the game in that way. We'd never do that. How dare you even ask that? And now here they are trading Josh Uche, who, again, was not doing much for this team, and I don't think is anybody we're going to dearly miss.
But he's one of your best pass rushers.
One of your best pass rushers. Okay. And I also think he's going to go to Kansas City and thrive there just because why not? You know, like, why wouldn't he?
And it doesn't mean he's good or better. It just means he went to an environment that was more forgiving of his weaknesses or maximizing of his strengths, right?
Okay. Now, here's the question that passes the sniff test or doesn't pass the sniff test. Can you trade off pieces, not have it be tanking? Like, are those two things interlocked? Like, if you start selling off pieces, like Carolina selling off pieces, they're tanking. We all know that. Is there a way the Patriots can do that? They can make trades or get rid of some guys and have it not look like they're tanking?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you trade KJ Osborne, you're not tanking.
Agreed.
I think you're just trying to get rid of him. It hasn't worked. It's bad. But if you trade
Jones and Bourne,
and
or even
Gotcha,
just Jones.
How about Devon Gotcha?
Yeah.
Like, I know you're a soft football team that doesn't stop the run, but he is the guy that everybody tells me is the best run stuffer in the middle of it. Bill Belichick told me he's one of the best defensive tackles in football. You told me you liked him enough to re-sign him in the offseason and give him some more guaranteed money after he pouted and said he needed more guaranteed money at his age, and now you're going to trade him off? That's tanking. That's not trying to win. That's not trying to make your team better. Now, the only counter argument on a guy like Godcha, which I don't think really exists with the other guys, is do you not like that he's talking too much? Is he a detriment to the culture because he tells Jones and Keefe that guys are, playing selfish, I think was the first phrase he used a few weeks ago. Things of that nature. Tough sell, but if you really had a good PR group, Coach Stacy could probably spin it in a certain direction. But are you going to tell me that there's any world where Jonathan Jones or Kendrick Bourne, I mean, I guess Kendrick Bourne brought guys need to eat better at, but I think he was trying to be a leader. I think he was trying to be productive, even if it didn't necessarily play out.
And then he dropped every single ball that he saw. Yes,
correct.
On Sunday.
So I don't know how you can trade those guys and think it passes the sniff test. And again, it's only in relation to your own words. I don't care if the Panthers are selling off. Mm-hmm. They should. They effed up their rebuild. Yep. They need to start over. You have an opportunity to bring in assets that could help you. Now, you're not going to get a ton. They're all low-level assets. You're getting day three picks for all of these guys.
And they already have a lot of day three picks. They have like 4 or 5 seventh-round picks already, and I think they have like 2 sixes. So they have, at the back end anyway, they already have a lot of that. I don't know how much more of that they need necessarily if you want to try and turn, you know, a bunch of them 2 sixes and a 7 or 3 sevens and a 6 into a 5 or something. I don't know. You can try that.
You just said a lot of numbers.
I know. I'm just saying. Like,
3 sevens and a 6 into a 5.
Well, what are you going to do? It makes 5 7-round draft picks? Like, what's the point of that? You know, you already have a team with a bunch of lousy players on it.
Yeah, but, you know, Tom Brady was the 199th pick in the draft.
It's true, he was.
You can find talent down there.
Not in the 7th round.
No. Well, sort of, because he was a compensatory pick.
In the 6th.
Not in the 6th. We don't need to have this argument now.
Yeah, all right, I guess he was on
the cut. We'll save this argument for next spring. We will have it, because I have a
we'll
hair
save it
across
for a bitching
bum
hour in the future.
Yes, it's a future bitching hour topic, how those are handled in the NFL. But no, I don't think it passes the sniff test, Elliot Wolf. And what bothers me a little bit isn't the individual trades or even the idea of individual trades. Diana Russini, Mike Giardi, they're all reporting, we are open for business.
Yep.
Fire sale. It all must go. Sunday. Like, wait, so are you trying to win football games or are you just tearing it down? And it feels like a teardown. It feels like you are tanking. And people get all worked up over that word. I know late in the Belichick era, people got real. You'll find it surprising that Mike Lombardi got really defensive when people talk
get
about
out of here.
Belichick's
Mike Lombardi didn't take kindly to that type of thought.
Bill would never do that. The respect of the game. Like, these guys. do what's in the best interest of the football team. If you think it's in the best interest of the football team, Elliott Wolf, to have 10 draft picks, 11 draft picks, 12 draft picks, whether you're going to make them or whether you're going to package them, like you said, trade up. If that's what the best interest of the football team is, then do it. Just don't tell me you would never do that because it's disrespectful and then go out there and do it. Because you know what that sounds a lot like? Sounds a lot like the last 10 months of Patriots football, where they say one thing, do another, then backtrack and tell you why what they said wasn't really what they said, but what they did was kind of what they did.
Yeah.
That kind of annoys me.
I know, and it's been going on all year, and it seems like something that they haven't quite dug their way out of yet. It keeps happening, and this is going to be another example of that when they start trading off their players, which I still think is definitely going to happen here in the next couple of days. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Jacoby Brissett with us yesterday talked about his status as the starter, says he wasn't sure about that yet, that he'll know when we know. I don't think that you're going to see Drake May this weekend. I think that he's probably out this weekend based on the protocol and how it's gone for other players that have been in it. Usually you don't see him back for a week. Probably going to be another week of Brissett against another beatable team here in the Tennessee Titans. And I ask the question, what do you want to see for the rest of the season? Do you want to see improvement? Do you want to see them win more games? Do you want to see them win just enough games to shut up Bill Belichick and Mike Lombardi and the rest of the chuckleheads over on that podcast? All of those things are acceptable. We'll get into that right after Brian tells you what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Time Out Market. The Boston Celtics pulled away from the Milwaukee Bucks with a 119-108 win last night at the TD Garden. Celtics got 28 points from Peyton Pritchard. They got 30 from Jaylen Brown. Head coach Joe Mazzulla spoke post-game about the importance of the Celtics bench.
It's just a credit to them. They have a humility and a professionalism to always be ready, and we're just always going to do what makes sense at that particular time. And so they, you know, after coming off a back-to-back and Lillard's foul trouble, they went to some different lineups, and so we had to do the same.
Celtics will be in Indiana tomorrow night to take on the Pacers in a rematch of last season's Eastern Conference Finals. Tip-off tomorrow night is at 7 o'clock. In other basketball news, according to Shams Charania, the cast for Season 2 of Netflix's NBA documentary series Starting Five will be Kevin Durant, James Harden, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Tyrese Haliburton, and the Celtics' very own Jaylen Brown. The Boston Bruins return to the ice tonight as they host the Philadelphia Flyers. Puck drop is at 7 o'clock. No Jeremy Swayman tonight as Jonas Korpisalo will be in net for the Bees. Patriots were off today and will be back to practice tomorrow. They take on the Tennessee Titans this Sunday, 1 o'clock at Gillette. Big news in the NFL today as it was announced Texans star receiver Stephon Diggs tore his ACL during Sunday's win over the Colts, meaning his season is now over. Colts have benched quarterback Anthony Richardson in favor of Joe Flacco. And finally, the Baltimore Ravens traded for Carolina Panthers receiver Deontay Johnson. Game 4 of the World Series is tonight, with the Dodgers holding 3-0 series lead after last night's 4-2 win. First pitch from the Bronx will be at 8:08. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Brian Frisoco. That's what's trending on WEI and on WEI.com.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Have you heard anything about your status for this upcoming week? And if not, when do you expect to?
I haven't, and I think I'm on the program of I hear when you guys hear, or I hear whenever I need to know. So I guess I don't know anything right now.
That was Jacoby Brissett with us yesterday on a Patriots Monday over at Gillette Stadium. It's Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us here today. We got phone calls and phone lines open at 617-779-7937.
How'd you think we did yesterday?
Great.
I've gotten some pushback.
From what?
From our interview.
What part of it?
The texters questioning our flow, our this. A lot of people didn't like that I asked him if he thought he was one of the 32 best quarterbacks.
That was funny.
That was a reasonable question. I mean, I didn't think it was a bad question.
He's hanging on by the skin of his teeth, and part of it was me thinking, and maybe I should have articulated this, that was Cam Newton's whole thing. I know I'm one of the best 32,
right?
And he wasn't, he was here, and that whole thing. Maybe I should have tied that in. But I've been getting a lot of blowback via the old texts.
I haven't gotten a lot of that, but either way, I think...
Very critical, these people.
I can say one thing about the flow, and I don't know if this is what they're talking about, but in terms of the flow, I don't know if you could hear it during the interview, but there was someone else on the phone.
Yes.
There was like another voice on the line. You guys heard that back here, right?
Oh, 100%.
It was... I don't know if it was Coach Stacy. I don't know what it was. If it was someone, you know, sometimes like maybe remember what's his name? Mike Tomlin said he could hear Zolak in the in the headphones. Like maybe it was something like that. You know, just the wires getting.
Or it
crossed.
Could have just been a person next to him.
It could have been someone.
Like
next
he could
to
have been
talking.
At a table and somebody was talking next to him.
Yeah, like at a call center. You know,
or something like
that.
I don't know.
I don't know what it was, but. I'll admit that was distracting for me because I was like, wait, is that someone trying to tell him what to say? So now I'm listening to the other voice to see what they're coaching him up on to see if it's even something like that at all. Like, I want to know all this now. And then I realize he's done with his question. I'm like, oh, I got to ask him something else. So that, I'll admit, that was a little
jarring
to me. That threw me off my game a little bit. But I thought in general it was a good interview. I didn't think there was anything
I thought it was
it.
Fine. It was not as good. They're always going to be better when they're in the building with us, when they're in the room with us. And we had, I thought, hit our stride when he was the starter earlier in the year because he was in the room and he was conversational. I thought yesterday he was a little shorter, quite honestly,
yeah,
with some of his
so
answers. He wasn't all Christian Gonzalez short, but he was a little shorter than I thought the conversational style that we had when he was in the room.
I think Christian Gonzalez is naturally just sort of soft-spoken. I think Brissett talks when he wants to, and I don't think he wanted to yesterday.
Yeah, Christian Gonzalez kind of reminds me of, like, me either as a kid when my mother would be like, how was school? Fine. Or my wife, how was your day? Fine. When they ask me those questions, and
what'd you learn about stuff?
Stuff. What are you gonna do later? I don't know. Watch TV.
Yeah. What are you gonna watch? Shows.
Something. Sports. Like that's how I take those. Like,
thanks, Mr. Gonzalez, and back to you.
Because I don't think he's trying to be a dink.
No, I think it's just how he is.
Yeah. Like I don't think there's a lot.
It seems sincere.
He's the anti-Gerard Mayo. He's not going to offer up. He's not going to. You start a new question and he's going to cut. Wait a minute. There was more I wanted to say. I forgot.
Yeah,
I wanted to fill
that. Yeah.
No, he is just. He's going to answer the bare minimum. And I thought yesterday there was a little bit of that with Brissett. He was not as conversational. And that started us kind of going more rapid fire. There wasn't as much sort of flow maybe to the interview. But I didn't think it was that bad that I got to get all these texts, people ripping me.
I didn't notice that.
And mostly they seem to be ripping because I asked him if he thought he was one of the top 32 quarterbacks.
Well, listen.
What do you want me to do?
I asked Mac Jones if he had the yips, and I heard about that for a couple weeks.
People asked Eli if he was elite.
That one there,
right?
Yeah.
Like, you asked questions. I certainly didn't think he was going to answer with that's an easy one.
Yeah.
Because I also told somebody that was being critical, I said, I think he probably thinks he's one of the top 32.
Definitely.
But it's not my job to answer for him or assume answer. Like, I want to know how he feels about it. Because he knows the reality. There was only one team that wanted him to start, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that team barely wanted him to start. The head coach said the other guy was the better quarterback. And that team now has a franchise quarterback. He's proven it through two games and a quarter, right? Like, do you want to be Mac Jones' back? I mean, damn it. Drake May's backup for the next 10 years. Like, I don't know where his mindset's. You have to ask questions because sometimes, I learned this with Belichick over the years. I watched people ask Bill some of the dumbest questions ever that would get great answers. And then I watched people ask what I thought were great, well-thought-out, tight questions.
And he farts in your face. Yeah.
He would crap all over them. So you just got to ask questions. You just got to go with it. Okay, move on. Sorry.
Yeah, you got to throw them out there. I agree with that. I think that's all fine.
Yes, I'm short. Why are people trying to get me worked up, 617?
Good question. I also
what does that have to do with whatever we're talking about?
I don't know, but I'm going to put my phone down and stop texting things in. Either way, I will say this. I don't think it's a coincidence that Jacoby Brissett came into that game and had success, as opposed to when he starts a game and has no success. Like, do you see what I'm saying? I don't think it's a coincidence that in the role of the guy who has to come in off the bench for the starter and put the team on his back and go for it like that with no expectations. Well, hey, you know, I didn't start the game. I'm just coming in here to do my bet and try and get this.
Sure.
With less stakes and less pressure and all of that, I'm not at all surprised. I think that's what he is. I think that's more suited to what his skills are right now. He doesn't think that. He thinks he's one of the 32.
And he should. Obviously. That's fine.
And he wants to be paid like a starting quarterback, and I understand all of that. I'm just saying I don't think it's a coincidence that the best appearance we've seen from Jacoby Brissett all season long came when he had to come on in relief as opposed to when he was starting a game. I don't think that just happened because it happened. I think that's because he's better in that setting.
Well, and I don't even know if he's better. I don't know that he's really capable of giving you like 60 minutes of high level football.
That's kind of what I mean. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like we're talking about the openers, a bullpen game, or these guys, these managers that are, you're not going through the lineup again. You know, that kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. Like you got me four innings. We're going to get you out. I think it's going to go south if I go any further than
right.
this. Right. I think that's who he is. And there's no shame in that. I'm not trying to, you know, take pot shots at him. I think he is who he is at this point in his career. And like yesterday, I mean, Sunday, I don't even know that he had a great game. He got the drive they needed. Like, Kayshon Booty didn't have a great game.
Nope.
He gave them the drive they needed when they needed it. Jacoby Brissett did the same thing.
He had
a big throw.
He had a good scramble. Like, right. He made plays. He made more plays than he usually makes.
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought early in the year he made some plays. He just can't give you four quarters of plays.
What other play do you equate with that Booty completion? Because that, to me, that was like, oh, wow. Look at him taking a shot down the field to a wide receiver who catches it and is in the red zone. Like that.
Not that.
You don't see much of that with him.
There were some scrambles. There were some scrambles and dump-offs to Hunter Henry along the way there where he made plays. They didn't look like that necessarily. But I just don't know that he can give you four quarters of... You know, 10 to 12 possessions where you're like, wow, the quarterback is playing really good football. I think his decision-making can be slow at times. I think he holds on to the ball at times. I think he misses open throws at times. Mm-hmm. And when you combine all those together, you're not a consistent high-level quarterback.
Yep, fair enough.
I mean, he played the Jets earlier this year and scored 3 points.
Right.
He played the full game. He played whatever it was.
Now, May came in at the end of that game.
He played a series.
Right. Rock bottom.
At the very end. But yeah, and then he got
But Brissett played
same
four
guy
quarters.
Sherwood, too. Yeah, he did. He played the four quarters. You're right about that. And I mean, listen, the Jets were a different team at that point. You were a different team at that point. And Jacoby Brissett is what he is. I mean, I think we all sort of see that at this point. When he's your starter, you're not going to have a good season. If he needs to come in off the bench as an emergency backup in a situation where your starter gets hurt or knocked out of the game or whatever, he can dare I say thrive in that role. I honestly believe that.
And at the very least, not implode.
Right.
Because we haven't seen him implode, right?
No.
At all this year? Really in any...
We haven't seen him explode, but we definitely haven't seen him implode.
That's
either.
Fine, though.
Yeah,
like,
right, yeah.
Once upon a time, I remember Bill telling this story about cornerbacks. There's two different kinds in the NFL. There's these corners that prevent catches, like the real good. Then there's other corners who, they're not going to prevent a lot of catches, but if a guy catches it, they're going to tackle him right where he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he said there's a spot for both in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think there are Drake Mays, guys who are going to make plays and look like Josh Allen and might make some mistakes along the way, but you're going to get a proportion of more plays than mistakes. And then there's guys like Jacoby Brissett who aren't going to make a ton of plays. And I'll go back years to Jason Campbell, and there's been all these journeymen kind of, you know, you look at the and you're like, wow, they only threw 11 touchdowns. Oh, they also only threw 2 picks. Like, that's just their world. And there's a world for them in the NFL. They're borderline starters or they're backups. Because nobody wants those guys for a long period of time. Because you don't win the Super Bowl. You don't go to the playoffs every year with those types of guys. But there's a place for them. I think there's a place for Jacoby Brissett in the National Football League. For multiple years moving forward. I don't know if it's here behind Drake May or not. He has a role in the end. There's too many crappy quarterbacks that get put out there for him to not have a place.
And that's why Joe Flacco is still around. That's why Jameis Winston's still around. That's why Marcus Mariota's still around. Not because those old guys starting ahead of him stink. Obviously, Daniels doesn't stink. But these guys get hurt. These young athletic quarterbacks running around, they get hit. Drake May got hit. Like, you'll see, you get opportunities. That's a big part of this. And if you can still play at all, that definitely matters. And I think Brissett can still play at all. I mean, you know, I don't know if he's a starter that you want to hitch your wagon to, but he can play still.
401, complete dig. How would you answer that? I think I probably would have said, just like most competitors, I do believe I'm a starting caliber quarterback and one of the best 32. But obviously this year my role has changed a couple times. I was a starter. That probably surprised some people to start the year. Now I was a backup and I was thrust back out there and I did the best I could. And I feel like I did a pretty good job in that situation. But yes, in my heart of hearts, do I believe as a competitor I'm one of the best 32? I absolutely do.
Yep.
That's how I would have answered that.
Okay.
So there's your answer, 401, complete dig.
There you go, 401 on the text line.
It's not even the bitching hour and I feel like I'm bitching.
You don't feel like you are. You definitely are. 617-779-7937. Joe's in Melrose. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Joe.
Well, when Drake May gets back, I really want to see him stay in the pocket because when he runs, he puts himself at risk. And the thing is, he is the best player on the team. And it kind of – I feel like he feels like he has to run to make plays because the receivers are dropping so many balls. And it's kind of like really angry with these receivers for, one, running their mouth all week, and then, two, when they get into the game, just dropping all these passes. And then to make a play, the quarterback has to take off. And then he puts himself at risk. And that's not what you want. You want him to long-term help, like staying in the pocket and throwing it. So, I mean, the receivers should, like, always kind of remember, like, anyone who, like, humbles himself will be exalted. Anyone who exalts himself will eventually be humbled. And the other...
Okay, thanks for the call, Joe.
Is that, like, a Bible verse or something?
I don't know. You're the Bible guy.
I haven't heard that, but I'll admit I wave in and out of pain.
He who is without sin shall...
Cast the first stone!
Shall stayeth in the pocket and not scrambleth down the field and slideth early and get hit in the head.
Do you want him to stay in the pocket?
No.
I don't either.
I don't.
Because
I don't think he needs to take off running every play, but I mean, I don't want him to suddenly not have that element of his game, no.
Right, and he needs to figure it out. It's what we talked about yesterday. Right. Figure out the balance, the style, the techniques even he wants to use. Because, yes, Shane, I think he should go head first. Shane, you want to call in and talk about that? I'm happy to bitch more in the 4 o'clock early bitching hour. But I think some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, they run.
Yep.
So run to throw is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Run to get out of bounds is okay. Russell Wilson, I always thought, was the measuring stick at it. Lamar Jackson, he's running to embarrass you at times. That's fine, too. Josh Allen, running to embarrass you at times. Find wherever your fit developmentally is. But I don't think right now he's good enough to just stand in the pocket and pretend he's Peyton Manning or Tom Brady and just pick you apart, you know, 40 passes.
His guys don't get open enough for that either.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah, and his line doesn't hold up blocking long enough for him to just be a straight pocket guy.
And the
he's going to be extending plays regardless, even if he's not running.
And the offense's scheme probably isn't at that level where Brady knew where everybody was going to be, was supposed to be, how all the routes work together. Like, it was a concert out there. This is seemingly organized chaos at times between guys not catching it, not knowing where they're supposed to be.
It's like a little kid's dance recital.
A little bit.
Like everyone's just kind of doing their own thing. Everyone's dancing around. Like, you know,
that's great.
Kind of what it is.
And that also fits into your other theory. When you go to a little kid's dance recital, you think your kid, whoever you were there to see, nephew, son, whatever, you think that kid did a good job, right?
Right.
Those other kids were a little shady, but my kid did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's how these entourages of all these receivers are. I mean, KJ, you're doing your job. Love you, man, that whole thing that he posted. Now, if only the others would
you're
play to
amazing,
your level.
You're amazing, KJ, man. Oh, you were ready to play even though they said you weren't going to play. It's like, all right, buddy. Come on. He caught one pass. He got a nice touchdown.
It's his job.
I'll relax a little bit here. 617-779-7937. If you'd like to chime in on this, I'll tell you what. Patriots shooting up those power rankings. I'll tell you.
Really?
Down at the bottom, they were at 32 up to 31. Now on the ESPN Power Ranking, the New England Patriots are 29th. After beating the Jets. That is ahead of the Jaguars. That is ahead of the Tennessee Titans.
Wait, that is ahead of the
Carolina Panthers.
Jaguars?
Yes.
Who just beat them?
But who are also 2-6, yes.
Yeah, but you have the same record and they beat you.
Well, you have the same record as the Jets and you just beat them.
And the Jets are still ahead of you. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but they beat you.
You also just beat them.
But they beat you.
Right.
We can go back and forth all day. I'm ready to bitch, baby.
I didn't write the list. I'm just telling you where they put them, all right? This is where they have them. Yeah, maybe the Jags should be ahead of them, and they just think the Jags suck, so I don't know.
I think it's good that their number doesn't start with a 3. I'm not even really mocking them.
That's kind of a big benchmark for them this year.
Although it means you invert that, and you're getting further from the number one pick.
Right.
The further you get from 32, now the record matters more than the perception, but that's what I don't like about this. You steal a couple more wins and you're picking like 5th, I am not going to be a happy camper.
I'll be fine with that. I still think you'll get who you want. If you're
lower than
5th,
last year,
6th, 7th,
higher, whatever,
8th, 9th even, I think, like, if you're in the
Why?
Top 10,
no.
I think you'll get what
you're
you want.
You're a fraud.
Why?
Because you will absolutely rip them or be angry when they pick 40th instead of 34th and some elite receiver goes or something, because that's what people don't pay attention to.
If they don't take an elite receiver with that first pick, then I will. Sure, fine. But
what if
they,
the elite receiver's gone?
Well, Elite receiver's gone. Trade up and get him. You know, you still have the 5th overall pick.
Or lose more games and just take him where you sit.
Fine. If you want to go out there and lose on purpose, which you go in there in the locker room, you tell those guys to lose on purpose.
Oh, no, I don't tell them to lose on purpose. I just trade their players away.
I
build a bad team.
Right.
It's a bad Build-A-Bear assessment. Like, there's no stuffing in this team. It's just the skin.
Pretty much, yeah. Anyways, up to 29 there on the ESPN list. And it also has, along with this, each best off-season edition. For the Patriots, it was Drake May, obviously, and Mike Reese wrote this. just since we had a call about him running. No need to overcomplicate it. May has injected life into the Pats' offense since being elevated in week 6. The number 3 pick is currently in concussion protocol after taking a hit, but before that in the game, his running ability complemented his passing prowess. 3 scrambles, 46 yards, and a touchdown. That type of dual threat has transformed the team's offense. It really has.
Absolutely.
It looked like a different offense out there. I mean, they were making, and they were scoring right away. They were scoring early and often like that. You could say that about the last game, too. They went up 10-0 before that 22-point quarter for the Jaguars. The Patriots' offense does look different. It looks much better.
Because it's two offenses. It's the scripted on-platform offense, or whatever you want to call it, and then it's what happens when he, like, that route that Tyquan Thornton ran was a scramble drill.
Yeah.
That wasn't part of what Alex Van Pelt drew up, and you have that secondary offense, which, honestly, with some of these guys, maybe is better. Maybe they're not polished enough at either quarterback or wide receiver to be, you know, on the same page all the time. Maybe that actually, let's play playground football. Hey, Thornton, you're pretty fast. Run away from whoever's chasing you, and I'll try to throw you the ball. Next time, just try to catch it.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I saw you about to rage at somebody on the text line. What is it?
Talking about our dance recital thing.
Mm-hmm.
630. I don't think you're allowed to say this, but I'm going to say it because the 630 said it.
Andy? Okay.
Andy, I don't think there are many sons and nephews performing at dance recitals. The hell are you talking about, you sexist jackwagon? I've been to many dance recitals. In fact, when my daughter was in that world, the best, without question, was the boy that was in the group. He was phenomenal. So do we think that boys don't take dance? Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I know I'm a little bit archaic and barbaric in my own right, and this guy is way behind me.
Redneck adjacent is what he
is. I'm redneck adjacent. MAGA heart is redneck adjacent, and this guy is like in the early 1800s or something.
What's 630? What is that? That's not New Hampshire. It's
603 is New Hampshire.
630. That sounds like something Midwest. That's I don't know.
Yeah, it fits.
Something like that. It's not. I don't think it's
Western
anything around
suburbs
here.
Suburbs of Chicago.
How do you not
it's
know
that? You people. You Bears fan, you.
There it is. All right.
You know who that was?
I didn't switch over to my burner phone.
That was that Stevenson guy that screwed the game for you.
Oh, the corner. Yeah, Tyreek Stevenson.
Oh, yeah. Tough week for him.
Clown.
Bill had some stuff to say about him as well. But we'll pass on all that right now because we've not been to this place in a long time, Andy. We have not gone to the spin zone in a long time. We talked earlier about the Patriots selling at the deadline. Andy Hart, in our email today, said, we got to go in the spin zone because I have a take that the Patriots should be buyers.
You heard him.
At the trade that buyers.
Yep.
As said in it. They should buy. They should add talent to this team instead of selling off talent. We'll go to the spin zone with Andy Hart on that very topic right after this.
WEEI.
I love EEI, man.
WEEI.
WEEI. New England's
sports original. AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
More of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
All right, before the break, I told you we're going to go to a place we haven't been in a while. That's the Spin Zone. Let's go there right now, sis.
Spin Zone.
Spin Zone.
Spin Zone. You'll spin
my head right. It's the Spin Zone with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
All right, we don't do this, like, regularly. We don't have, like, a special spot for the Spin Zone every week. In fact, it's been a few weeks, I think, since we've even done this. But every once in a while, a take comes out in our pre-show email that needs to be spun in a certain way. And, Andy, you had one today that I needed to read a couple of times to make sure I wasn't reading it wrong. You think that the Patriots at the trade deadline, not sellers, they already sold off Josh Uche, but they should cut it off right there and instead be buyers at the deadline.
That's right. Twitch chatters, 0-17 Hart thinks they should buy. And you know why?
No, I don't.
Because there's an opportunity. You have the cap space to take on contracts, not just for the here and now, but for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a projected contract that it's not even on the books yet. It's why I would have considered Cooper Kupp or Devontae Adams, one of those veteran receivers that has back-end cash
right
on the contract. Why? I have the cap to take it now. I have the cap to take it next year. I have extra draft picks already. You were enumerating all the late round picks they have, but also the third round pick you got in the Matthew Judon deal.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait. Strike first. There are teams out there that aren't good. There are teams out there that could be blowing it up and tearing it down. Now, my most extreme example would never happen, but the Jets. If I could somehow get Garrett Wilson, that would be like the dream deal. But Slayton for the Giants just had a big game. Would he be available? I don't know. Would you want him? I don't know, but I think they should be looking at depth charts.
Yes, he'd be available, and no, I don't want him.
Okay, that's fine.
Just with that one particular player, I don't really have much.
But I think their pro personnel department should be looking at depth charts, not just, hey, who needs a third corner? We might be able to offer him Jonathan Jones. Hey, who needs a fifth receiver? We might be able to offer them Kendrick Bourne. No. Who has extra talent or who has talent that doesn't look like they're part of the future?
Right.
Maybe they drafted somebody and that guy is getting, you know, experience now and it's like, oh, he's going to be their starter next year at that position. So they don't really need that guy anymore who's making money. You have the opportunity here, Elliot. That was a ET reference.
Yeah.
Did you see the...
That was awesome.
That was pretty good.
Well, wow. Did you see the thing I wore in the Six Rings podcast?
You looked like Cornholio.
That was the first thing, which I agreed with. Then somebody said you looked like E.T. working a construction site. I have a hood over the arm. And so at the end of it, I put my finger up to the camera and said, Elliot Trey.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good E.T.
Oh, thank you. And I haven't seen it in like 40 years or something? 30 years?
You work
years?
With Fitzy long enough, you get good at doing impressions, which, by the way, his impression of me, pretty good.
And he loves to do it. There I am.
There's
E.T. working a construction site.
There he is right there.
And there's my picture of Tom Brady, Paul Perillo. How you like them apples? Me and Tom Brady, I covered the Patriots for a decade.
And that door that you still can't put back on the track for some reason.
It's going to be more work than it's worth.
It seems like it because you definitely have been neglecting it. But yeah, Fitzy's impression of me is pretty good. And I've tried to do an impression of Fitzy. I told you this. Every time I do it, I just sound like Dennis Miller. It's just, you know, and I can't do a good Fitzy. Yeah, that wasn't it. I have to get in the mind frame to do it. But Fitzy's impression of me, people don't do impressions of me that much. His impression of me is very good. And my impression of him is very, very good.
Now I have to hear this Fitzy impression of
him. He does it every Six Rings post.
I'll be checking it out tonight.
He mocks him every Sunday at and Hart will be on the afternoon show with his partner and then immediately goes into the voice that is Arcan. I will also say that
it's your old pal Fitzy. This is pocket money. I sound like Dennis Miller. I can't do it. Every time I do it, I just sound like Dennis Miller.
Yeah, it's not great. But that's also Fitzy's world.
It's true.
He's a voice guy. He's a comedian. He's a character. Like, that's where he lives in. Anyway, I would like Elliot Wolf to at least consider. And I don't know what deals are out there. I don't know because I do think I don't just want him buying to buy. I don't want him to be acting like my wife when we get a little extra money and it's like, I'm just going to buy this and I'm buy that because we got all. Like, no. Buy something you need or you really want. Left tackles, tackle situations. You know, is there somewhere where drafted a tackle that's coming on and the veterans? And I don't need him to be the left tackle of the future.
Right.
I don't need him to be a Pro Bowler. Can you make the roster a little bit better?
Can you upgrade what you have?
And yes, Twitchers, the contradiction here is you got to thread the needle because I don't want the roster getting too good because you win a bunch of games down the stretch and all of a sudden you're picking 11th or 12th overall because I want this guy to be impactful 2025.
Mm-hmm.
So an injured guy would even work, too. A guy that'd be banged up might be perfect, where I don't have to worry about him helping me win games down the stretch, and then he's available next year. But do you think I'm crazy to believe that if everybody else thinks you're a seller, and everybody else who stinks is selling, look to be a buyer?
Yeah.
Swim opposite, right? Oppo.
Yeah.
This is the whole, right, money ball or whatever. Opportunities present themselves. Be ready to take advantage of the... Don't get so narrow-minded like, oh, we're going to trade away our players, we're going to get assets, we're going to play young players. No. Look at this from the other side. Awaken 180 it. Spin around in the spin zone and figure out, could we actually be buyers and help this team?
Yeah, listen, I don't think you're going to be able to get much if you sell your players. I don't think you're really getting that much to begin with. You do have a lot of cap space. You do have a lot of draft picks. I think that you can make small moves, like even what the Chiefs did with you for someone like Uche.
Yeah.
You can upgrade so many places on this roster because this roster is so bad. Like that's really what it's about. That's something you can start and say we're just going to completely overhaul it in the offseason. But I don't believe that they're going to do that. I think it's going to be a process that takes some steps. I kind of agree with you. I kind of like the spin.
Ooh, zone. I spun you a little bit.
This is a good spin zone. I wasn't sure where you were going to go with it, but I do think that in theory this makes plenty of sense.
And again, I don't know all 32 rosters. And I also don't know their cap situations. That's another thing, because you know, once we get to January, everybody's going to be like, whoa, the Saints are X hundred million dollars over the cap. They're going to have to redo contracts or cut people. Well, don't make them cut people. Trade for those contracts. Like somebody threw out on our podcast today, would Chris Olave be a guy that the Saints might? I don't know. Never hurts to ask.
Yeah.
Guys that are available, I don't think they would ever trade him. I don't know why that would make sense from them. But always ask. Always be available. I always go back to that famous John Lynch call with Bill Belichick. Is Jimmy Garoppolo available? No. well, is Tom Brady available?
Like, also, no.
You don't need two quarterbacks, so are either one of them available?
Mm-hmm.
So I just
don't know if you don't ask.
Right. You have cap room.
If you don't
ask,
the answer is always no.
Correct. You have cap room. Others will have cap hell. Maybe pounce there. You have draft picks. Maybe others want draft picks. You can pounce there. I just think, Elliott, be creative.
Yeah. And you have to be creative because they're not going to outbid the contenders. The contenders who need a wide receiver, who need an edge rusher, who need whatever it is, are going to go higher than you because they feel like where it's like what Mayo said about the cycles. Remember when he was like, the Bills traded for Cooper and you got the Jets trading for Adams. We weren't in on those guys because we're not in the same cycle as those other teams.
Right.
I don't love that answer, but I get it. And you're not in the cycle with those teams, so you're not going to be able to outbid them for those type of players.
Correct.
But you don't have to only trade for those type of players. You can upgrade many different places on this roster. You can just about upgrade everything.
I mean, we've talked about the lack of guys that we feel are part of this team for a three-year window or a three-year plan. Yeah, I'm not talking about rentals, put you over the top, the things that the Chiefs and the Lions and the Bills and the Ravens, those are all, they're in a different cycle. They're in a different world. They don't live where we live. I'm just saying, I think it gets easy to say sellers and draft picks and tear it down, which is what I've been saying for much of the year. But also, because you didn't spend your cap space, you have cap space to use. Because you have already made some moves, you have extra draft picks to use. Maybe just be creative and put it to a different use.
Yeah, I think that makes plenty of sense. I wasn't sure where that spin zone was going to go, but you spun me. I'm
Don't
into it.
Don't ever doubt me.
Buy at the deadline. Go ahead and do it, and I will continue to doubt you.
And I spun the 401. Great spin zone segment today, fellas. I agree 100%.
Very good.
These
All right.
are my people.
617-779-7937. That's the phone number. If you'd like to chime in here on any of the stuff we've been discussing for this past hour, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll reset on the Celtics. A big win over a supposedly big team in the Eastern Conference. Celtics look like the only big team in the conference right now, but there's another team that may be making some noise as well that we haven't talked about at all. We'll get to all of that with your phone calls next.